Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there, and which comes by email on Sunday, and my blog, which you can come and get, or we'll send it to you. Either way, you decide. We'll do it. Do whatever you want. And that comes Monday through Friday, and you'll be happy to know that we give you Saturday off. A lot of other things you can do there on our website, smallbusinessadvocate.com, including go back later today and listen to Sam Walker's interview with me over and over and over again. I know you're going to want to do that. Sam is senior special writer and sports columnist for the Wall Street Journal. In my opinion, the finest daily publication on the planet. I read it every single day. Prior to joining the Journal, he worked for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, a paper that I don't read every day. And he's also worked for a number of other publications. Many of you have seen him on television. He's got a new book out called Fantasyland. It's all about fantasy baseball and what it's doing to the folks who are participating in it. Sam, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jim. Good to be here.
It's good to have you here. By the way, I feel like I need to have some full disclosure here, and I'd like for you to to participate with me on this.
Okay.
I grew up with baseball being everything. Football was a third world sport when I was a kid.
Right, right.
Baseball was everything. My cousin Don Blasingame played for the St. Louis Cardinals and other groups back in the other teams back in the 50s and 60s.
I knew the name.
Yeah, and I saw him play many a game in Wrigley Field against the Cubs, and I've got a 1956 baseball that all the Cardinals signed for me as I was sitting in the dugout.
That's fantastic.
So that's my grounding in baseball. I loved baseball. I loved it less and less until 1995. When it was 95, that was a strike year, right? Or 94.
Right. 94, right.
94. Who's quibbling? And and since then, I have not been able to watch baseball.
Not at
For
all.
I watch a little bit of the World Series, but two World Wars and a Great Depression didn't cost us a World Series. Not since the beginning of the game, but owner and player greed did.
Yeah.
And I've never been able to forgive them for that, Sam.
Well, I don't blame you. And a lot of people are the same way. And I, frankly, I'm the same way. I mean, I love baseball. I always loved baseball. It's been my favorite sport. It's been close to my heart for
It's a wonderful it's a wonderful game, but it's not a game anymore.
Well, see, that's the thing. This is why I wrote this book. I mean, I was covering, so I cover sports for the Journal, and I'm writing a lot about baseball. And there was a really nasty stretch there where I did nothing but write about steroids and ballpark financing and labor negotiations.
There you go. Every year they unredeem themselves, don't they?
What's that?
Every year they fail to redeem themselves.
Exactly. And some of the decisions that were being made and the way the game was headed, I just sort of saw this Armageddon scenario. It was really, ratings weren't good. And I really thought that, that things were tough for baseball. But now I have these friends, who play rotisserie baseball, fantasy baseball.
Right.
And, the more I listen to them and the more I talk to even major league players who have friends who play and have them on their teams, I realized that there was this weird, subset of people out there who don't care. They don't care. I've been told, that if, Manny Ramirez hit a home run and terrorists blew up Fenway Park, these people would say, well, does Manny get credit for the run? they don't care. Anything could happen. They don't care about steroids. They don't care. All they care about is how their team is doing it and whether or not they were able to predict and project and anticipate, things that might affect the players statistically. And you know what? It's a nice way to be. It's like being a methadone patient or something.
Right.
nothing can affect you. And I saw these people, and after going through this awful period in baseball, I really thought, I need to get back to the game. I need to see what these people are doing, and I want to see if it's capable of drawing me back into just loving the game and not caring about all the ancillary.
A lot of people have gotten involved in fantasy baseball, fantasy sports, period, right?
Right, yeah, million, they said.
I guess baseball is the biggie. Now, that's what this book is about, isn't it?
That's right. Well, you know, it's this crazy movement. I mean, there's about 15 million people in the U.S. are playing some sort of fantasy game, and now football is actually overtaken in size because football is a little bit easier. It's not as you don't have to be as compulsive. Not as many games. It's a little easier to manage your
right.
with actually having, you know, other things like a job or, you know, a family. But baseball is really, in terms of the time that people put into it, and the money and the investment of emotion and, you know, blood, sweat, and tears, is really the one that has the most committed following.
Take a minute and tell us how a fantasy participation in a fantasy team works.
Well, it's hard to. I mean, really, what it is it's a simulation of what it's like to be a general manager, to assemble a team. And I mean, it's got kind of a goofy reputation because I think there are a lot of kind of nerdy people who play, and it kind of seems a bit, you know, like, you know, playing air guitar, you know,
right?
Sort of. But
your
really
team is made up of people
simulation.
From a lot of different. Your team is made up of people from a lot of different teams. Isn't
exactly.
It?
Yeah. No. You take the entire pool of players. In my case, it was the entire American League and the league I play in, and you get together with, you know, 11 other people, and you sit down. And you all have the same budget going in, which is an arbitrary number, $260 in our case, and you basically auction off the players. I mean, Alex Rodriguez comes up, and everyone mm-hmm. sort of bids, and whoever. Whoever bids the high bid gets them, and you keep going until everyone spent all their money and filled out a roster of 23 players. And it could be on any team. You can have, you know, two Tigers and a Blue Jay and a, you know, three Reds or whatever. But
and whatever that player does that on that day, that regardless of what team he's playing on or against, that
right.
goes that credits or goes against the performance of your team.
Well, yeah, you have statistical categories. In our case, 8 categories or 10 categories, and you basically every day your team you take the totals put up by your team,
right.
You know, whether it's ERA, batting average, whatever, and you see how you measure against everyone else in the league. So
Sam, pardon me, I got to go to a break in a second. The
sure.
problem is you said it a minute ago. These people are supposed to have jobs.
Right.
They're supposed to have families. And you said methadone. Methadone is not a drug. That's what people are getting off of. How they're getting off? This is, I think you used the wrong term. This is crack, isn't it?
It's crack.
This is crack baseball, isn't it?
It's crack.
Am I wrong? Am I wrong, Sam?
No, it really is. I think it does have an addictive quality. And
when we're gonna take a quick break. When we
okay.
come back, I want you to tell us about how this gets into the marketplace, how it gets into the workplace, and now with the internet, you know, are your employees selling online? Are they filling orders? Are they doing what they're supposed to be doing? Are they playing fantasy baseball? And there's also a sad note in baseball, and we'll mention that when we come back after these messages. 20 after, I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 23 after. Sam Walker is our guest. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'm your host. Sam's book is called Fantasyland, a season on baseball's lunatic fringe. That's a great subtitle there, Sam. Tell us where the book's available.
It's available now. Just yesterday was the official publication date, so it's out. It's in bookstores. It's beckoning.
Wherever books are sold, wherever fine books are sold, and a couple of places where they're not so fine, and you know, we got some news that we need to report real quick, Sam. We lost Kirby Puckett yesterday, the great center fielder from Minnesota Twins. Just who was a great. I personally think he was a great member of baseball. What do you think?
I agree. I mean, I think his zest for the game and his, you know, the way in which that team, that was a special team. That was
yep.
a special World Series they won. And, you know, he was really the core, the soul of
he
that
was the,
team.
He took them, he basically took them on his back for a
he
while
did.
There.
He did. He really did. I mean, he was the, it's funny, I think in a lot of cases, and I think one of the problems you look at with, say, the Atlanta Braves, it's, they seem to lack that one player
yep.
you know, who's able to just sort of gel everything together, get everyone together and make it work.
Big play person.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, we will miss Kirby, and our hearts and thoughts and prayers are with his family. Also, on this day in 1955, Sam, Baseball Commissioner Ford Frick said he was in favor of legalizing the spitball. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but in the 1900s, the way you got people out was by throwing the ball at them on, you know, wherever they were off the base. Do you know that?
No, they called it throwing it right.
They called it soaking. They called it soaking. Now, so you know, if the guy was running down the baseline, you threw the ball at him and you hit him with a baseball. After the 1994 strike, I wanted to reinstigate soaking. Now, Sam, tell us why fantasy baseball has gotten out of hand in the workplace.
Well, there was a study done, you know, and I don't know their methodology, but they said that something like, you know, $400 million a year in lost productivity, you know, people playing fantasy games at the office. Actually, some companies like GM have actually blocked access to fantasy sites on their internal networks. But, you know, I think that it does take up time. It certainly takes up my time, and I certainly get,
Did you find, Sam, when you were doing this, I don't know if you're still doing it or not, of course, this, the season's just getting started. Did you find literally that you experienced a loss of productivity, that you got caught up in it and it became like an addiction?
Well, you know, no. I mean, while I was playing that first year, I was writing the book, and I was kind of on a leave from the paper. But, you know, last year I did play again, and actually won this league that I played in. And, while I was working full time, and, you know, I have to say one thing, which is that I think that as much as employers fear it, I mean, there is something, it's not something to be totally frightened about. And I think in some cases, you know, I've talked to a lot of business people who've used fantasy sports. I mean, I talked to one guy in Minnesota who was a stockbroker, bond trader, and he used he got his best clients in a fantasy league, and he said it just increased his orders immensely. It made him closer to those people.
He used it to build community.
Yeah, that's the thing about fantasy baseball. Now, you know, there was a book written a few years ago by a political scientist called Bowling Alone, and the idea was that Americans, you know, aren't associative anymore. You know, they don't get together. They don't form these little associations they used to.
It's because of air conditioning.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah, exactly. Well, that's another reason. But, I mean, bowling, you know, bowling leagues had fallen off, and his theory was that Americans just, you know, spending more time by themselves and in their homes. But I don't think he looked into fantasy leagues. Mm-hmm. This, in a lot of ways, is how mostly men, you know, who are older and have families, you know, get together to sort of have some camaraderie and some good times. It's kind of like a version of poker night. So,
right.
You know, I think in a way, it's got its nice elements.
Well, it's like everything else. There are good things and bad things.
Exactly.
But I got to tell you, Sam, when it comes to baseball, I miss Kennesaw Mountain Landis. You know who he was, right?
The commissioner, right?
The commissioner who sentenced the Chicago Black Sox to, you know, purgatory, and
right.
Baseball purgatory. And I miss him. I think we could use him again. What do you think?
I agree. I mean, I think it'd be great to have a commissioner. I think the trouble is that baseball's become. I mean, baseball really is a, you know, it's a $4 billion business, which, you know, it's not that large when you look at, you know, big telecom companies or something. You know, but it would be pretty hard, since there's so much money at stake, for one person, I think, to really manage and rule the game. But you know, but it definitely has problems. I think the seed of all the problems are that the people who are making the money are running the show.
And, are we going to get steroids out of baseball?
You know, from what I've seen, I think it's pretty well far along the way. I mean, I think the penalties.
You mean toward getting it out?
I think it's coming out, and I think, you know, the problem was a little overblown. I mean, when Jose Canseco said 80%, I mean, that's wacky.
Right.
It wasn't nearly that high.
Right.
And I think, in a way, there is a chance to redeem baseball a little bit, because, you know, obviously the guys who are taking it are shrinking, and we all know who they are. We've all seen them shrinking.
when their clothes are falling off them, that's kind of a tip, isn't it, Sam? Hey, Sam,
right.
Tell us, is there a website for your book?
Yes, it's called fantasylandthebook.com.
A season on baseball's lunatic fringe, ladies and gentlemen, by Sam Walker. It's a good one, and I recommend it to you. Sam, thank you for being here. Will you come back another day?
Absolutely.
Let's find another sport we can diss. What do you think? Sam Walker, ladies and gentlemen, Fantasyland is the book. It's got a baseball player right on the cover. You'll like it. Quick break. Right back with June Reed. She's in Baghdad. She's going to give us an update on how things are going in Iraq. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. The show is brought to you by IBM, Office Depot, and Administaff. I can't imagine.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.